special guest, Mike Tye from St John Ambulance. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this afternoon.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
Right. Mike is joining us from St John Ambulance. When we were sort of talking about what we were going to discuss during that track, you put me in my place because I thought it was St John's Ambulance. It's a common mistake to make, from what I gather.
It is, and it's a logical one, but it is St John Ambulance. And if you ask me why, I can't tell you. And I haven't met anybody who can, but right. That's the way it is.
You have to take that up at a higher level.
Oh, yes.
Right, first question, because a lot of people may know the name St John Ambulance, or indeed its misnomer, and there are many people at my high school, for instance, who would have done your first aid courses.
But, indeed.
But for the benefit of those who've sort of heard the name but don't know what it's about, what exactly does St John Ambulance do?
Well, I'll give you a very brief potted history. It can be traced back to the time of the Crusades from the Knights Templar. Mm. But in modern times, St John Ambulance really grew out of places like the pits, the steelworks, where there was no health and safety legislation, and the men banded together using St John Ambulance as the umbrella to provide their own self-help first aid. That then expanded as health and safety legislation came along, greater community awareness, and so here we are today with 45,000 volunteers nationally.
So presumably when it started, it would have been sort of a contribution out of the miners' wages that would have paid for whatever equipment they would have needed.
Indeed, and nothing much has changed. We get absolutely nothing from the government. We have the normal fundraising channels. We are a little bit different to some in as much as we have a very big commercial side, which provides first aid and health and safety training for the workplace, like fire training and stuff around legislation. And that provides every single penny of profit goes into the charity to provide all the services that we do in communities across the land, including Alnwick.
Yeah, fantastic. You're here to talk about many aspects of the business. The one I'd like to talk about first of all is the focus on first aid,
and
there's been a lot of publicity about first aid training recently. Many people will have seen the adverts on television featuring Vinnie Jones showing the updated versions of CPR. I guess the one I'm going to say, why is then the need to promote first aid now? Is there a sort of lack of education about first aid among the public?
There is a lack of education, certainly, but there is not a lack of means of education. It's getting your message across. Mm-hmm. I can give you a personal example.
By all means.
About 4 years ago now, I live near Gateshead, and I was passing the Nissan plant in the winter when they were coming out, and there was a big car accident. And you're talking about hundreds of people leaving. I was actually the only one in the vicinity who knew anything. Everybody was compassionate and wanted to help. Nobody knew how.
Mm.
And I thought that was quite a lesson.
I mean, what sort of injuries are we talking about here, just to add a bit more context?
Very severe bleeding from head wounds. As it turns out, it looked a lot worse than it was, but, you know, very cold, bleeding. He could have really been in a bad way.
Yeah.
Another big thing is mothers and children, you know, choking. Every mother needs to know how to stop a choke.
Mm.
Not panic, solve that. And how you do it is by giving them strong, not slaps on the back, you hit them on the back.
Yeah.
And that'll dislodge it. And these are just things which everybody thinks to know, but you have to be trained to know how to do it when it arises.
Because it seems to me there is a tendency in our culture at the moment where everything is becoming so specialised that whenever a problem like that occurs, our instinct is to panic and get someone else to do it.
Indeed, that's right. Working where I do, in the centre of Newcastle, it's quite usual for people to come hurtling through the door wanting help, which of course we provide. But until recently, the General Hospital was over the road, you know, but that's what you're there for. St. John says that no one should suffer for lack of first aid.
Mm.
No one, be it at home, at work, at school. We have a very active schools training. In the Northeast region in 2011, we trained 8,000 children between 6 and 16.
Wonderful.
In what we call young first aid. And there's a big push, and we would like people's support to get this onto the national curriculum.
Is this a qualification that you can obtain?
It is. They get certificated. Our school's liaison officer, they train teachers and children. They train the teachers to a level who can then in turn train the kids. And it goes through stage one, stage two, stage three. And it's like everything else. If you catch them early, they'll be good.
Yeah.
You know, and then it takes away the fear aspect as well.
Yeah, because I can imagine that the sort of the aspect of, like you said, the fear factor is one of the things that would inhibit people from getting involved. I mean, it's like, to use a rather crude analogy, it's like stepping into a fight. Do you, because there's a risk that you yourself might do the wrong thing by trying to help someone.
Yeah. Well, this is where good quality training comes in. Mm. And just speaking for myself and other people who I know who have delivered first aid, including my own granddaughter, as it happens, the training clicks in. You feel very shaky afterwards, but as long as you know what to do. You see, first aid is there to hold the fort until the professionals arrive.
Yeah.
And that is the critical time.
Okay.
You know, you hear about the golden hour and stuff like this.
What's the golden hour?
Well, if you have a major life-threatening condition, they could talk about this in Afghanistan and what have you, that first hour is critical to be treated. And in a slightly lesser way, it's the same for first aid. Mm-hmm. If you can stem a bleed, for example, you're giving the paramedics a much greater opportunity of getting to that man quickly or that woman quickly, hence in hospital, they make a faster recovery. So it's all part of a chain.
Yeah. And do you think, I mean, we hear various things in the media about different health epidemics to do with obesity or diabetes or what have you.
Yeah.
Do you think that training people in first aid actually gives them a greater incentive to get themselves healthy? Do you think that has any impact on their lifestyle at all?
I wouldn't be able to give you a statistic for that, but my observation would be yes. If you're a first aider, I've observed that people tend to be of a caring nature, and it's not just a pat on the head and a cup of tea. We get some great big muscly rock hard men who are brilliant first aiders.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about the specifics of the training that St John provide. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I signed up to do a first aid training course with mm-hmm. you, what sort of stuff would you teach me?
Well, if there's different levels. If I talk about work, that's the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
You'll know about risk assessment because your own business will have done one.
Mm-hmm.
Your class is either high risk or low risk. Generally speaking, if you've got forklifts, machinery, high voltages, it's high risk.
Yeah.
An office is generally low risk, but that's not for us to say, that's for you. But the biggest course, it covers fractures, sprains, CPR,
mm-hmm.
huge, choking, bleeding, bandaging, absolutely anything you could name, it's all in there.
And other guidelines for what first aid, are there guidelines for what is in the course changing all the time? Because I remember hearing some years ago about the Heimlich manoeuvre and actually how that can sometimes do more harm than good.
The terminology changes. If you come on a course now, you would be taught to do abdominal thrusts.
Right.
Same thing behind somebody, fist into the solar plexus, pull in hard,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, helps them. But as I mentioned before, hit them on the back. Hard. Don't mess about.
Yeah.
Hard. That's your best thing. But it's knowing what to do. And that will stop the person panicking more than they are. And they will panic, of course.
Yeah.
We've all had a choke of our own from time to time, I would imagine.
Yes. It is that panic that can take over. Have you ever had to have first aid performed on yourself? Out of interest.
Yes, I have. When I was a bit younger, I played football and I had an extremely bad leg break. Which I should have to think. But the first aid was done by the guy who ran our team, but really it was past first aid.
Mm-hmm.
He just sort of went, oh my God, and went to tell him, and so would I, my foot was back to front, but there you go. But other than the normal things, but I mean, I have children and grandchildren. I've done first aid on them over the years, like every parent has. And, you know, sort of cuts or breaks, everything. You just do it. Personally, I think you have a responsibility, and there's an emotional thing as well, and that's why I believe in being trained towards it.
Yeah.
St. John provides that in a great way.
Yeah. Let's move on a little bit now to the volunteering aspect of St. John, because as far as I understand, anyone can get involved with St. John, provided that they've obviously been given the adequate training. Tell us more about the volunteering that you have at the moment.
Well, there's different levels of volunteering. Nationally, we have 45,000 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
In the Northumberland area, we have about 500. 200 of those are what we call badgers and cadets. That's 6 to 10, 10 to 16. But that's youth development.
Yeah.
For adults, they can join. I have a number here which I can give out later.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can volunteer for one of our units. We have the ambulance unit, cycle responders if you're fit enough. But you join up and you will be trained in first aid to a high level. Now, I don't know if you follow football or rugby.
Yeah,
like that. Premiership football, we do the first aid at Newcastle and Sunderland. The Great North Run, the Sunderland Air Show, the Hobbings when they're on the town moor. Locally, we do the Glendale shows, the Alwinton show.
And these are all volunteers?
These are all volunteers. Mm-hmm. Now, what the law says, you can't run an event without providing first aid cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying we are the only people, but you need somebody to do it. People would not pay commercial rates to provide that cover. And some of these volunteers give 30 hours a week. That's a lot of volunteering. So, and it's they're very dedicated.
How long does it take to train a volunteer? An adult volunteer, for instance.
Well, you can train to be a first aider in 3 days. But you would need to be in the volunteers for a little while before you move on to that. But then they can take it to the next level. They can teach you about sort of moving casualties,
mm-hmm.
medical gases, a lot of much more sophisticated stuff.
Yeah.
More than my level of first aid. And we get people from all walks of life do it, you know, and even school fates, you'll see a first aider there, a pantomime.
Yeah.
You'll have seen them there, but they're generally not noticed until they're needed.
Yeah, because I take it the general principle is that it's there as a
mm-hmm.
your primary role is you're there to treat people, but you're also there to comfort them so that if something does happen, you know that they're going to be helped.
Oh yeah, it's very good. You will have seen that last week in Newcastle, the Theatre Royal was I think 175 years old,
mm-hmm.
and had the street theatre.
Yes,
apparently there was a lady collapsed there. And although it wasn't our guys who did it, they were in the vicinity, but the paramedics happened to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what they react to, people having cardiac arrest and things like that. And very important to you know, give these people a chance.
Mm. So in terms of if people are listening to this and thinking, yes, this is exactly what I want to do, this sounds, you know, like my kind of thing, what's the best way for people to get involved? Is it to approach you directly?
Yes, it is.
Would you like to give out the phone
number? I can give the telephone number. It's a Newcastle number, and it's 0191 273 7938. And if you ask for Liz Carmichael, she'd be delighted to hear from you. But also you can find out a lot by going online to www.sja.org.uk, and you'll find there's a wealth of information on there. And one other thing as well, St. John,
mm-hmm.
we say that every volunteer has to get something out of it for themselves by way of self-esteem or job satisfaction. So whether you want to volunteer for one day a month, duties every week, occasional, it doesn't matter, because people have different things in their life, and so there's not a stereotypical volunteer.
Mm-hmm. We'll obviously put the phone number and the web address on the website on our, once this interview is over, we'll edit it into a podcast so people can download it at any time.
Thank you.
And that will be available on our website from the end of this week. We're running out of time, I'm afraid, Mike.
That's
really good
okay.
to have you here. If you had to give one, just to finish off with, if you had to give one piece of first aid advice that you think everyone should know that could potentially save somebody's life, what would it be?
Do something instead of nothing. Simple as that. Don't just stand looking. If somebody's bleeding, stop it. Put a pressure on. I can't give one bit because it's so wide.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to do the recovery position. People may just be unconscious, mm-hmm. but if you don't put them in the recovery position, they could choke to death.
Yeah.
So I haven't got a magic message.
I did put you on the spot a bit there.
I could say the one thing you could do is, let's say, and John train you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Mike Ty of St John Ambulance.
That's it, thank you.
Yes, I won't make that mistake again. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us here on Lineout Radio today. Like I said, we will put an edited version of this interview up on our website as a podcast, which you'll be able to download and keep as an MP3. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you very much indeed, yes, sir. Okay.